Good morning. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you to the other panelists as well for such good information. My name is Don Duncan. I'm on the board of directors of Americans for Safe Access, and I'm also a part of the team that operates three medical cannabis dispensing collectives here in California, one in Berkeley, one in West Hollywood, and one just now opened in the heart of Hollywood in Los Angeles itself. In that capacity, with ASIN as a dispensary operator, I've had the opportunity to work with cities and counties all over the state of California on implementation issues, and I can tell you across the state, local governments are grappling with what to do with medical cannabis dispensaries. It's unprecedented in American law how to handle an institution that is illegal under federal law, is very vaguely legal under state law, and has no local guidelines whatsoever to start with. I am happy to say that if you can measure the success of Proposition 215 and of our medical cannabis movement here in California by the expansion of safe access, then it's been a tremendous success. We've gone from one dispensary in San Francisco to over 200 statewide. And I'm especially encouraged that we're seeing now a long-awaited proliferation of dispensaries in Southern California, in Los Angeles, in the Inland Empire east of Los Angeles County, even in San Diego, which is arguably the most hostile jurisdiction in the state of California for medical cannabis right now. And that's encouraging. I remember for the longest time there were only dispensaries in Northern California, and it seemed like L.A. never would come along, and now it feels crowded in L.A., and so I think that's a tremendous success. And I don't just mean the traffic either. There are several reasons. In fact, there may be a whole range of reasons why dispensaries are proliferating so quickly. And perhaps the most important is that it's just an idea whose time has come. You know, it's time in this process for those dispensaries. But, of course, the factor that's driving in the Southern California and the rural expansion of patients is the increase in the number of new patients in California. We have perhaps 100,000 patients. Estimates vary. At the conference in Santa Barbara 2 weeks ago, there was an estimate of somewhere between 130 and 338,000 patients in California, only about 25% of whom actually have safe access to medical cannabis at this time. And so that huge increase in the number of patients is driving the proliferation of dispensaries in areas where previously the communities were not so supportive. There's also other factors that I think are relevant to the capacity of the dispensaries to serve their patients, and one I think is a dissatisfaction, and I don't necessarily mean that in the harshest sense of the word, but a dissatisfaction amongst the patients with what they have. There are some dispensaries, some patients who are dissatisfied with the services and with the medicine that they can find at the dispensaries, and that will often lead them to strike out on their own. And one of the exciting trends we're seeing right now is that individual patients, previously people receiving services, are getting educated, they're getting motivated, and opening their own dispensaries. And that is exactly, it's a wonderful step forward. I actually talk to at least three or four people every week who want to do that, and we've come now to the point where some of those people have actually opened up and are operating, and now they are helping to train new dispensary operators from their patient base to open new dispensaries. And that is grassroots organizing in its purest form, I think, is people just going out and taking the initiative and doing it. Of course, also driving that proliferation of dispensaries is financial opportunity, and that's both real financial opportunity and perceived financial opportunity. There's a common misconception that anyone who opens up their doors as a dispensary will, of course, be a millionaire by the next week, and that is not the case. And yet, there is a medical cannabis is a growth industry in California right now. There are people making a lot of money at it, and that perception of financial opportunity, I think, is also driving new dispensaries to open, especially in these areas where traditionally they've been less welcome. So the good news about this proliferation of dispensaries is that having new dispensaries open, over 200 and growing here in California, remember those are only the 219 that we know about. There are plenty more that we don't know about yet. This means that we're taking medical cannabis and Proposition 215 and making it a reality every single day in the lives of tens of thousands of patients. That's no small thing. California's medical cannabis law is not theoretical or hypothetical. It's real every day in the patients' lives, and that's something to be proud of, and it's something to strive for in the other states. I know we're seeing inklings of that all up and down the West Coast, in Colorado, and even on the East Coast now, and I think it's a trend we should encourage and support, because those new dispensaries in the other states are going to bring that same safe access and that same reality to those patients, and they're going to take the heat off California, and we could really use that. Now, the bad news about this proliferation of dispensaries is that as the number of dispensaries grows, the challenges facing the local communities, the city councils, and the boards of supervisors are also going to grow. And with the proliferation of dispensaries comes a proliferation of non-compliant and perhaps less desirable dispensaries as well. Sometimes this is the result of ignorance about how best to operate, and sometimes just carelessness. But locals, cities, and counties are now dealing with the issue of how to regulate their dispensing collectives and cooperatives. And they're not going to get any leadership from Sacramento on this issue. And so city by city and county by county, we're going to have to sort that out in a way that's relevant for those communities, that respects the values of those communities, and hopefully in a way that actually protects the patients as well as the neighborhoods in dealing with medical cannabis. The problem with dispensaries that are raising concerns and generating controversy in the community isn't just for the immediate neighbors. The perception that dispensaries are problematic and that they bring criminal activity and nuisance behavior into neighborhoods jeopardizes the credibility of our medical cannabis movement here in California. And it's very, very important for these dispensaries to be good neighbors and good citizens in their communities so that we can facilitate this growth and safe access. The concern that local governments have when I talk to them, the city councils and the boards of supervisors, are not about the big issues. They're not concerned about the Supreme Court case. They're curious, but they're not really hung up on it. They're not concerned about federal law and the larger issues of ethics or morals around self-medication. They're worried about smoking outside. They're worried about litter and graffiti and parking and the other kind of nuisance activities that cause their constituents to call and complain about medical cannabis dispensaries. And what we need to focus on in regulation, I think, is the nuts and bolts operation that is going to make these dispensaries good neighbors and be sure to protect that safe access. There are two aspects, and of course, I could go on all day. I'm just going to focus on two aspects of medical cannabis dispensing collectives that I think would go a long way to shoring up that credibility and preventing that kind of nuisance behavior that leads to complaints and to problems in communities. One is the organization of the dispensaries themselves, their sort of legal or structural organization, and the other is what I call the good neighbor policy. Under our state law, there's no explicit protection for a medical cannabis dispensary. It was not anticipated under Proposition 215, or at least it wasn't addressed under Proposition 215, and it's absent from SB 420 explicitly. However, SB 420 does make a space for collectives and cooperatives of patients, and it's a small step from the collective and cooperative of patients to the dispensing collective, where a group of patients and caregivers join together to produce medical cannabis, to package it, to label it, and to provide it back. And in that model, patients would provide to that dispensing collective their excess medication, which would then be provided to the other members who cannot or will not grow their own medicine. And that model that is membership-based and exclusively supplied by patients and caregivers who are members, I think is one that makes local government and neighbors very comfortable. They don't like the idea of Walmarts of cannabis. They're uncomfortable with that. But the idea of a group of patients working together as a closed circuit, isolated from the illicit market, seems to satisfy the mandates of SB 420 and allay the concerns of consumers. You'll find on the front chairs here, I've put out some information. One of the things we've had to do is define what a dispensing collective is under SB 420. And this is a work in progress. The information you'll find on this page about medical cannabis dispensing collectives was adapted from a return of property motion filed in a case with a LA dispensary that was shut down. And the attorneys set out to identify what a collective or cooperative was in terms of state law. This very wordy and not terribly elegant adaptation of that return of property motion talks about a collective in which this is made up entirely of patients and caregivers, that's membership-based with a closed membership just to their registered members, where all the supply is internal. And that, I believe, is the sort of legal organization that's going to lead us forward and allay those concerns, at least until the time that there can be some meaningful regulation from the state government or a significant change in federal government. I hope you'll have a look at that. It's not a finished document. That's a work in progress. And so any feedback that you guys can provide on that, I am very eager to have. You'll find contact information at the bottom. Besides being legitimately organized, though, I think we have a behavioral issue that's perhaps even more significant with dispensing collectives and cooperatives. And that is what we talk about as our good neighbor policy. You're going to find down at the front as well a very short booklet called Medical Cannabis in Our Community. This booklet was developed to talk to neighbors about dispensaries because we were finding that the same questions come up again and again. What is a dispensary? Who are the patients? Are they safe and are they legal? And that's what this booklet deals with. It's a layman's discussion, and it is really only the starting point of a conversation, not a authoritative treatise. But I want to talk just briefly about the good neighbor policy, which I think is so important, because virtually all of the problems that I have witnessed in dispensaries in California were not from federal law, but from local complaints. And unfortunately, some of those local complaints, because of the values and the policies of local police departments, turned into problems with the federal government when the local law enforcement would contact the DEA and bring them in to bust a dispensary because they didn't feel like they had the tools available to deal with the complaints they were getting. A good neighbor policy, I think, starts with that legal integrity, being legally organized, restricting your membership only to those who are qualified, and taking very real steps to prevent diversion. We can't just pay lip service to legitimacy. We have to be sure that as the dispensaries operate, they are only providing medicine to their members and that they are not allowing, through lack of oversight, members to divert medicine into the illicit market. Whether or not, you know, I personally wish there were no illicit market. If cannabis could just be legal, then of course that wouldn't be an issue. But until it is, we have to have a line, I think, over which dispensaries do not cross.